Okay, we're good to go. So we're holding here. We had done last time, I think, the Ruach Shtus. We've gotten rid of the Ruach Shtus. So now I'll do a small piece. I guess I'll go in the order of the in Yaakov. There are some pieces that the Maharal doesn't speak about, but once we're doing the Agadita, we might as well do. There's a small piece of Gemara. It says, Tanev Bishmol, another mekane li ishalim ki nechnas by Ruach. So my ruach, Rabbanan say ruach. Tumah Rav Ashi says ruach taira. And so the question is, in other words, what is it coming from? This ruach of kanos, is it ruach tumah, ruach taira? Mistaber kandiyam ruach taira. So the Gemara says it's mistaber that Rishmol holds that it's a ruach tahara. The Tanya. The kines ishtei rishus divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva oima choiva. So we have a machloikis if the kines ishtei rishus, that's what Rabbi Shmuel holds. Rabbi Akiva says it's choiva. I amit bishlam ruach tara shape. Eli amit ruach tuma rishus vechoiva li yulad inshu ruach tuma benafshe. In other words, if it's a ruach tara, so it makes sense that there's some machloikis as to whether or not this is a ruach tuma, ruach tara. Fine, that makes a lot of sense. But if you're talking about something which is a ruach tuma, so rishus is hard enough to understand, but chayiv is certainly something you can say that it's a chayiv to do something which is absolutely wrong. So b'meila, it's probably a ruach tara. That's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara brings on this. It just put a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel or Akiva, whether it's chayva or it is or whether it's rishus. The Gemara in over here in Saita brings a whole bunch of machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel or Akiva, where the Gemara says this is a machlokes in Kol HaTorah Kula, and it goes with Vikines Ishtoi Lo'olam Bem Tavodu, where it's Chova Rishus, and Lenefesh Lo Yitame Ba'amav, a lot of machlokes like that, where it seems to be going that Rabbi Shmuel holds it's Rishus, Rabbi Akiva says it's a chayva. So the Gemara's havamina so is maybe this is machlekes and kol HaTorah Kula, and the Gemara says, well, in each and every case there are psukim that teach me about it. So it is a little bit strange to think that one would darshin psukim in the same way, in other words, that they would just happen to align in the same machlekes. So even if the machlokes is in drasha psukim, it does seem to be quite evident that there is some sort of fundamental underlying machlokes in the two. It's interesting that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, they also argue in a very basic, what's the right word for it, in a very fundamental machlokes about drashas in Talmud in general, about which is the proposed way, which is the best way to darshan. Is it klal uprato klal, or is it riba miyat and riba? It's something that is a sort of a machlokes. The Gemara seems to say is a very, very fundamental machlokes in how to darshan, I guess. And the Gemara says that it spans a lot of different areas of Rabbi Shmuel says klal uprato klal, and Rabbi Akiva darshins pratim ribuy miyut. Rabbi Akiva darshins. So it's something that is a little bit open for finding, I guess, what the machlokas is. It's something that spans so much of Torah that one would really. The Gemara in Shavuot says, Rav Akiva says, Riba mit Riba. It's talking about Lekola Shivati Ha'odom, and the Gemara says it goes back to Rav Akiva's Rebbe Nachmish Gamzu. Seems to be something very, very fundamental. So I would like to think about the Machlokes in the following way. I was inspired to it. I saw somewhere somebody learns it in a very different way, but I think Becholzai is the Etzem, I guess Leshitasai, would work. And as follows, Rabbi Shmuel was a Kohen Gadol, and he was not only a Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel was the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shmuel was the Kohen Gadol in the Churban Bayis, and Rabbi Shmuel was the Kohen Gadol who, the famous Gemara Brachis, that's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva was the Amud of Torah. So you have the Amud of Avodah and the Amud of Torah. Those are two Amudim that the world stands on, obviously. Those are two fundamental Amudim. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, each one represent one element of it. Rabbi Shmuel represents the Amud of Avodah, and Rabbi Akiva represents the Amud of Torah. In the world of Avodah, the Lamashal, Vayikra starts with a Nedava, with the parashas of Karbanis Nedava. It's Ish Mikem Kiyakriv. It's talking about where the world has many opportunities to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, all forms of avoda, or avoda, starts with what you would call a hisarus de la sata. It starts lamata, and it's something which is goes up. You and the sire to do something, and you bring it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Cain and Hevel were the first bale avoda, and they brought offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You find that when the Navi is Moichir Chai Yisrael, Lomli Reib Zivchechem, it says, Ashalit Tzivisim, I never told you to bring me Karbanis. Karbanis you're bringing out of your own free will, and if you feel like it, that's wonderful, but don't go and tell me you had to do it, and that's why, whatever. It's always coming, an offering is meant to come milamata lamala. And so it starts with us. Better said, the Sheirish, yes?
Sorry, let's know that. What about the Korban Tamid?
Okay. So, correct. There are Korbanis, but the Torah starts. I mean, one would expect to start with, when you give a test, you start with what you have to answer, and then you add at the afterwards, as an afterthought, a few extra credit questions. In Karbanis, the Parshas Vayikra starts with that. In the Torah, the Karbanis that the obviously everybody brought, those were definitely coming from us. By Noach, we had a tzivui, you know, or at least he was told to put aside so that he could have Karbanis. But so there are certain Karbanis that have to be there, but the tsur of the Avodah is always milamata lamala. In other words, we choose, we do, and so on. So even those particular ones that were mitzvah to do, but the klal of Karban, the tsur of Avodah Karban, is an offering. That's what it is. So every time it's like when you're giving somebody a gift, even if you understand that it's expected, it has to come out of your nidva slave. I remember one of my children used to have, as when he was a young boy, he had a problem understanding spontaneous social behavior. So one of the questions that bothered him was, how do people know to go to the Rav Friday night after davening and give him shalom, you know, say good Shabbos? And I started explaining that people understand it and he wouldn't buy into it. So one day, the kids, Shabbos afternoon, they used to play all sorts of games in the house, whatever, so they were playing shul. And it was this boy's turn to be the rav of the shul. And basically, he gave a clap and he said, before we start davening, I would like to instruct everybody to please pass by and give me good Shabbos after the end of the davening. That was what he understood. There was another one that was even funnier. He said, and when I start speaking, will everybody please put their heads down on the shtenders? That was a kind of his observations of how the world works and ought to work. But at any rate, so avoda, and let's explain what that is. Avoda means that I'm being meshabed myself to somebody higher than me. When I offer homage to someone, what I'm saying is I recognize you as, I accept you as authority, God, king, etc. So it can't be a tzivui. It's like the Gemara says, you know, in the Medrash says, why do we have the parasha of Shema before Vayeshemoya? Moshe, like a melech, said, first be mekabel my malchus, and then I'll be goizig zeris on you. So the Kabbalah's malchus must come from us. We can't have a Kabbalah's malchus coming milamala. So the Amud of Aved is always first. Kabbalah's came before Torah, so to speak. I mean, it took a certain hakara. The others were makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they couldn't have been a tzivui. There had to first be an acceptance of Kabbalah's malchus shemayim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be goize his gzeris. So you start with his iris milamata. You go it and you mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anytime we have a stam statement, Rabbi Shmuel dehears it as rishus, because in that world of avoda, it starts with rishus, and rishus leads to chiyuv. So where the Torah is not filling in the chiyuv, it's rishus. Rabbi Akiva was the amud of Torah, and in the amud of Torah, Torah is the tzivuyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaveh. It's after we're mekabel, after through avodah we machnia ourselves, just like the Moshe in Rosh Hashanah, you have Malchus, Zichron, and Shefes. Once you have the Malchus in place, a Kabbalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, now it's possible to go and to be geyser and to sort of say, okay, these are the protim, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva's machlokes as to whether a stam inyan mentioned in Torah, should we take it as rishus or take it as chayva? Rabbi Shmuel takes it as rishus, and Rabbi Akiva takes it as chayva. I was also thinking that that's possibly the machlokes of klal or pratu klal, and versus ribuy and miut, that in the world of avoda, the pratim are a totsah of a tzivui. L'mashal, when a person is oimed on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's amitius, and even he's oimed on the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Shabbos, let's say a person is, like it says by Avraham Avinu, that he was oimed midaitoi on the mitzvahs, those types of oimed midaitoi are klolim that are moiled protim. I first am toifis, the klal, and from the klal, so I know that there's an inyan of Shabbos. So somebody whose avoda comes from rishus to chayva, I wasn't mitzvah on Shabbos, but I get to it by my own seichel understanding. So I need first to deher the musig of Shabbos, and then I say mistama, this would work, or something that would work. I see the overriding commandment as a klal, the overriding principle, I should say, better than commandment, as a klal, and the details are how to fulfill that klal. That's the vantage point of so l'mashal, somebody who's a baal avoda, when you ask him, what are you doing? So he says, what I'm doing is, I'm being mekadesh myself. I'm being moisiv kedusha. How do you do it? Oh, there's a loch of this. There's a loch of this. Tefillin is moisiv. That's why. That's the perspective. A person who looks at it from a Torah point of view starts the other way around. The Torah, the person, Torah is details. In other words, when as a tzivui, the tzivui is not a lecture. The tzivui is do this, do this, do this. So I can look at things as a ribui, I could look at things as a miut, but I always look at them in terms of being. Each piece is a tzivui and it's a prat. That's a difference in the approach of klal prat to klal or a ribui miut. That's one possibility. But al kapanim, Rebbe Akiva is the amud of Torah, and that's where he sees it. Rabbi Shmuel is the amud of Kun, and that's where he sees it. I actually saw, speaking about the how we look at things in what kavana and so on, I saw this week, too, I saw a fascinating story. There was by the Briskerov, this is somebody who was there, said over this story. He was by Briskerov Rosh Hashanah, and the first day Reb Beryl used to blow, the Briskerov son, and the first day really went bad. It wasn't going. Finally, b'deichik, he was able to get his tekiyas out. The next day, I guess the Briskerov sent for someone else to do the tekiyas, and the Briskerov and this other person was a Yerushalayimer. His name was Breitstein. He was from the Eid HaChreides, and he walks into where they were davening in press. Right before tekiyas, and the Briskerov walks over to him, and the Briskerov is very tense. And like pale, and he says, Leman Hashem says, one favor from you, please do not think of any kavanis while you're blowing, only that you want to be yotzei tekiyas and you will be meitzei tekiyas. No other kavanis should cross your mind. The Rav was scared that if you think other kavanis, he would forget this kavanah being meitzei and it wouldn't be that kavanah, whatever it is. That was the Rav's chashash. But upon him, there's a Baal Aveda starts from the klal, that the mitzvah of the Yerufan of Lahavasai, the Baal HaTorah starts with a tzivui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzav me to X, to do Y, to do Z. It's like the Rambam, if you take a look in the Rambam's halachas in Mishnah Torah. If you take a look at the Rambam's halachas, the difference between Mori Nevuchim and Mishnah Torah. Mori Nevuchim explains the reason for the mitzvahs. In Mishnah Torah, he tells you the details of mitzvah, and at the end of the detail, he gives you a little bit mussar as to what the mitzvah means to say and so on. So I think that's the sort of machlekes of Shon Akiva, whether it's chayva or tara, and you see it's a machlekes, chayva or rishus. You see it's a machlekes that spans the entire, gamut of any time there's a pasuk that's ambiguous as to whether the Torah is telling you what you could or what you have to. So Rabbi Shmuel's tefisa is by telling me what I could, I'm getting a better opportunity than what I have to. Almost like a Godel Shein Mitzvah versus a Rebbe Akiva who's coming from Torah point of view and Sivuyim is what it's all about. That's what I want to say in this piece of Gemara. Okay, the next piece over here Yes.
Just asking that, sorry. Back to the Koven Tomei.
Yeah.
What is the meaning then that it's Mitzvah?
So let's give an example. If somebody sits down with a chassan and he says, for a happy marriage you must every so often give an unsolicited gift and you have to do this, have that. So it's something that without having some element of it, the world has no kiyum. If nobody in the world is inclined to bring, but what we're doing, the hagdara of what we're doing is not so much as doing a commandment, but rather as offering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the nature, the word offering always means it's from me. So yes, there are things we feel duty bound to volunteer for certain things. When I got my draft notice in Eretz Yisrael, it said, the law obligates you to do your during the army, but everybody comes running as volunteers. In other words, and the content of it is something that is at my initiative giving it. So except that the Torah said if there's not an activity like that going on every day, the world has no kiyum. So we've made that the carbon tumit, but still it's something that comes from me. That's the difference. And that's why kavanah is so important, and all many other areas. But when we're describing what this activity is, it's an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that by nature is voluntary.
Okay.
Yeah?
Before, can I ask you a question on the term kina? We see here that kina is ruach tara, or
yes.
Yibchoiva, and we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekaneh.
Yes.
What is the mida of, we normally translate jealousy,
correct,
as that can be looked at in normally a very negative, but in these places positive.
Right. So Bemis, the Rambam says, it's interesting to look at how the Rambam is magdir the ruach kina. The Rambam says that. It's he paskins that it's a mitzvah to be mekane, and he says that. Let me just get the Rambam open here. Let me just see. Mitzvahs chachomel ne Yisrael lekanes l'nesheihem shenema v'kines ishtoi v'chola mekane l'ishtoi nechaz beruach tara. That's so he's passing like that. Then he says v'lo yekane lo lo mitoch schok lo mitoch sicha lo mitoch kalas roish lo mitoch meriva v'lo lahat ala ema. So the Rambam is saying even the mitzvah lekanes, there are two different elements, two different possibilities of kina, and let's take an example, a very fine example of something. Imagine when a person has a relationship with somebody, and let's take a child. It's probably easier to picture it. You have a child, and you feel. And two different scenarios. One scenario is somebody's being mashpia on your child, who's a very good person, and really is leading him on a good derech, but you begin to feel that the child is more and more attracted to that person, less and less to you. Scenario one. Scenario two, somebody's attracting your child, and you feel that the child is being misled, and this person is taking him down a deep abyss. The person is not a good person. Whatever direction he's taking to is not a good direction. So now the person obviously is upset in both cases. In one case, the person is upset that the child, I love the child a lot, and this child is being taken to a bad place. In other words, my bond with him is good for the child, and this child is being torn and led down a dark path. The first case, I'm upset because I've been knocked out of the race. Here is somebody who is who my child seems to see as smarter than me, wiser than me, nicer than me, whatever it is. Now, if so, when a person, in the case where a person is mekaneh his wife, so it could be the sacredness of the bond that the sacredness of the bond of kedusha between us, and that somebody else is breaking into it, that she's that's it is destroying a certain kedusha of nesuin of a bias kedusha bias, and that kina is a positive kina. Because I don't want to let a ruach tuma onto my house, or it could just be that I'm upset that she thinks that guy is more handsome than I am, when it's hands down the other way. So there's a personal element, or I'm just upset at the other person, and I say, I've got a great way to slam you. I'm upset at you really because supper wasn't on time, and I have a way to slam you with what you're doing with so-and-so. So if the kina is for a very specific thing, in other words, if someone else's child is being led astray, I feel bad, I feel upset, doesn't arouse in me any really furious reaction, but if my child Chasam is led astray, I am extremely, extremely upset. You know, I know somebody in our area many years ago lost a child to overdose, and he knows the person who sold the drugs to his child. And, you know, also Jewish, quote-unquote, from, I guess, for some reason. I don't know if it's yes from, not from, whatever it is around. So, yes, so my rage is a rage that is directed at something that's bad. And out of my love for this person, I'm upset at someone's leading him astray. That kin is a kin of Tara. Versus where I'm upset, I'm frustrated. You know, it's a shame for me that I'm ashamed that my child is X, Y, and Z. That is not a good kin. Even though, yes, it might be appropriate that I'm ashamed of a child of mine that doesn't act well, doesn't act right. But that shouldn't become the reason for exploding at him. It's my problem, not his problem. It's my problem that my covet has been kind of, you know, everybody says, this so-and-so's son, I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So then it's me that I'm worried about, not him. So it's very important to be able to distinguish the two different kinnas, both kinnas are an anger brought about by my connection to something. That's the, so to speak, I guess what's the right word, the bottom line of what kinnah is. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's Mekane Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yisrael, because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this tremendous love for Yisrael, anytime Yisrael is led astray, anybody sometimes tries to destroy the bomb of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's moiled a reaction that we will call kinnah. But if somebody is but in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not shayach, you know, that he's jealous of somebody else, and that obviously doesn't exist. So that kinnah is always good. By a husband, it really depends. Is it my midas in the getting in the way, or is it because my love for the person, or whatever? And that's what Rambam says. It's positive, but you have to be very careful. And by the way, this is generally good advice. When a person scolds a child or whoever, it really depends on what the person's what the message a person is giving. If the message is personal, I'm ashamed of you, so basically the child will say, it's about you, not about me. When the message is I'm frustrated, which, you know, a person has I've had enough interactions with you to be frustrated. So when I'm frustrated with somebody, that's also a personal thing. I mean, how many times after it's very hard. I mean, you're talking about some of the hardest midas to sort out, but its effectivity is when your person really feels it's for you. Very, very hard. But at least you have to be honest about your motives, and you have to be careful about the word you use. If you say, what is it, you know, I've heard this, you know, what does it look like if my son does this, this, and this? Okay, I get it. It's about your problem. It's got nothing to do with me. That I'm drinking makes no difference. It's just that people say that you're not a chasher mechanech if I'm drinking. So that message is not going to be a very, very effective message. I don't know. It's not an easy one. But that's what Rambam says. The kinnah can't be schoy, can't be this, can't be meriva, can't be. It can't have ulterior motives, except for the care that you have for that person. I think I once told you over there's Rev. The Reb Chaim Brisker had a son, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, and Reb Moshe Soloveitchik was the father of Reb Yeshua Ber Soloveitchik, and he was a bit more modern. Reb Moshe, he married a little bit more of a modern woman, whatever, and he was in Warsaw at some point and didn't really have a job or anything. And he came, and he was offered a job to teach in the Mizrahi schools. They were called Tachkamoni. So his daughter writes that a delegation of Rabbanim came to protest, and they, you know, they basically told him that it can't be that you're giving a hechsher this place, whatever. So she said her father started screaming, yelling. She never saw him scream and yell that way. And like she went over to hear a conversation. She walked. And what happened was they had told him, we're telling this to you as good friends that this is not the place you want to go to. At which he blew up and he said, good friends, I've been sitting here for a year in Warsaw and starving, and I have a penny and nothing to eat. Where are my good friends? Why is it only when it comes to something that you're upset about that all of a sudden I get so many good friends? And she said she'd never heard him scream and yell like that. But it has to come through like that. Sometimes it's almost impossible, but b'cholifin, I guess just in being aware of it is important. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. There's not a, I think we'll hold it over here. Any questions, any points? Okay.
Rob Dolansky, so yeah. Next week I can't do it, so we do again in 2 weeks?
So in 2 weeks, we have a very, very important yontif in America. And so actually, I would be in the yontif spirit, but I happen to...